Hi, I'm Claire Morrow. I began doing elder care work when my own parents started to falter and needed help, but I live very far away. In the beginning, I was trying to reach out to them and manage their situation. Even though I did have a sister who lived much closer, I was concerned, I wanted to help, and I was kind of making myself crazy because I didn't live nearby and it was very hard to do anything. But I'm an action-oriented person. If I see a problem, I like to think of a way to address it and go ahead and do that. And so I realized after I'd visited my parents and my dad was in a rehab for a stroke at the time, that there were problems that all elderly people or people who were becoming older were having with coping with the next phase of their lives. And because I had a counseling background and a programming outreach background, I began to work with my local elder services because I thought I can't always be there to help my parents, but I can help other people who are dealing with these problems. And that gave me a sense of purpose, and that's how I got into the industry.
I believe that the main function of self-care is part of your ongoing self-discovery, because you can't, the most effective self-care is the self-care that supports you in the best way that you want to function in the world. And I call that your best self, right? A lot of people call that your best self, but your best self is the person that you enjoy being when you're in the company with friends that make you feel positive, when you feel like you're in the zone of your life and you're going in the direction that in your wildest dreams you might envision. I mean, there are moments when we all get to feel that way, and to be doing meaningful work that is rewarding on some level is, to me, part of arriving at understanding what your best self is. And if you've chosen caregiving and or are in a position of caregiving and have to find the best way to deal with it, then those moments will give you clues to what will support your self-care. For example, if you're immersed in self-care or in caregiving and you need to incorporate self-care, how do you do that so that your attention is not divided? Sometimes we are so pressed for time that self-care seems impossible. But when we realize that elements of the work we do, whatever it is, can give us a sense of calm, an island within the storm of demands, then we can, with our awareness heightened, appreciate those and allow the body to relax and feel restored, even though we're in the midst of the work that we're doing. That's a kind of flow state that work that is synchronous with our other feelings kind of supports the whole wellness of the self. Those moments don't necessarily come all the time, especially when you're interacting with other people and you can't give yourself, your personal internal self, the time to appreciate that kind of self-care. But it's something that on a different level of your brain, you can flag so that when you feel that synchronicity, you can match it to other other forms of self-care to discover which synchronizes the best. I mean, all the ways that we soothe ourselves in that are positive supports, whether it's exercise or a particularly nutritious and delicious meal, or if it's just immersing in a creative project for a short period of time, or spending an hour or an evening in a project that is unrelated to your everyday life in a task demand way, then you can enjoy that flow of activity and replenish what really feels nourishing to you on a lot of different levels. Self-care demands that your focus is not on you, it's on other people and an other person and their needs, but you assign yourself that job and focus as you would any type of work that you take on, except with caregiving, if you're in a person's home or that person is in your home, they are more a part of, they're integrated into a living as your support is there, is helping them live their life. And if you're spending all your time helping someone else live their life, when are you living your life? You may decide that you're not, your life is their life. You know, you're living for them, you're living for your sense of connection to them, you're living for your honoring of them, you're paying them back for the time that they cared for you. It has aspects of denying the self at the same time as you're delivering that care. But that can be really ultimately not to your benefit, because without caring for yourself, you're not as available actually in your caregiving process. So there has to be a balance, and seeking that balance shouldn't feel like a distraction in pursuing a whole self on your life journey. All these aspects of living become more and more integrated. The more you learn to recognize what positive self-care means for you, the more you can notice when you're sharing those things with the caregiver you're responsible for, or care recipient you're responsible for. The caregiving situation is so unique to every person, and the way that they define their role to themselves. But, you know, because it doesn't come with a job description or a set of expectations with a regular consultation with a supervisor who says, you're not meeting your personally prescribed goals for this position. As a caregiver, you have more or less a set of expectations, which is maybe sustaining the life of the person you're caregiving, but that's awfully broad. And as a person, you don't come with your own operating instructions either. So you are responsible as you grow in your humanness to support your own life. How you define how you do that is also really open-ended. So to look for the growth within caregiving, I think it's really important to start with your own self-awareness. Yes, you'll have a set of responsibilities to the other person, and part of your job of caregiving is understanding their situation, whether it's medical, mental, emotional, environmental, all of the needs that they have become needs you will attend to, but you cannot forget that you have that same set of needs and you have to attend to them too. So you have two lives that you're managing at the very minimum, depending on your other life responsibilities. And the burden is also the joy of living. And to stay connected to that fact is hard in the times that, you know, in the course of life. So that's where attention to balance maybe can, for some people, be a daily tallying, like a tally of gratitude, a tally of things that make you angry, a tally of what comforted you in the course of the day. There are ways of assessing, analyzing what is functioning well for you and what's not, in the same way that any job would have best practices. Are we living up to our best practices? What best practices need more attention? Is this best practice the most important thing right now, or should we let it drop to the bottom of the list? The same way our self-care and our work for in the service of others has to find a balance. The question of balance is really a frustrating one, but I don't want to overlook the fact that people in a caregiving situation have many conflicting emotions, often throughout the entire day. And sometimes their sense of duty is all that keeps them going through the process. And there are a lot of health effects related to the difficulty of the work that should never be minimized. It's absolutely true that our interactions with others are a mirror to ourselves. And that's where the best self idea comes from. How we treat other people is sometimes a lot nicer and kinder than we treat ourselves. But if you see that the people who treat you kindly give you a greater appreciation for kindness in your life and the impact it has, it not only can soothe your heart and mind, but you can then turn and extend that to other people that you're dealing with on a regular basis. And that's how we hope kindness and compassion will support the people in our community at their best, so that we can manage when times become difficult. When you really feel like you're pushed beyond your breaking point, or you have lost the connection to your inner self so that you can hardly perceive if you're angry, if you're hungry, if you're happy, if you're sad, that you're tired beyond words and you push yourself to keep going, you need to ask for help. You can't manage being so burnt out caregiving on your own. And if you do have help and you still feel that way, then maybe you need to assess the effectiveness of the help that you have and seek out other supports, because there are so many more virtual supports right now than there have been that are available on a variety of bases. But if you need a rest and you need to have someone step in for you, then that's okay to do, very okay to do, because it's going to keep you and your your loved one safe and healthy. And at the same time, you're going to be able to restore your own sense of balance and well-being that have gotten off balance. It's really important to ask for help. If you're juggling three sets of duties, if you're working, if you have an employment that you have to sustain, and you're looking after a loved one, and you're trying to take care of yourself, now you've parsed the job into a lot more segments, but it's entirely possible that some of that what supports you and is an active element of your self-care is the employment that you pursue at the same time as you're caregiving your loved one. So it becomes an intrinsic part of those feelings of being in your space of affirmation and well-being. So you can't eliminate it. It's complicated. It adds another layer of personal management to how you juggle that time. But maybe some of your employment tasks can go in that piece called self-care, and you can feel less pressured about making separate time that you feel you don't have for attending to your own self-care. Because the whole perception of what that means is what self-care means to people is very different. And we all need, and it seems hard to imagine, but we all need silence. We all need emptiness, pockets of blank time. The blank screen is a place that maybe we all ought to spend time in front of for a chance, for the opportunity to allow our own thoughts to project in a way that is very personal to us, to allow yourself a space of emptiness. And whether you envision it as floating in the sky or swimming underwater, you can immerse yourself in a way that detaches from the rest of your responsibilities and allows your own thoughts to settle, so that you can appreciate a level of relaxation that requires nothing from you. There's a value in taking the pressure off, even for a short time, in that way. And that's what mindfulness and meditation can bring once we can detach from the fullness of our lives just for a short time. You're not abandoning it, and that doesn't mean that you won't go back to the things that fill your life, but to take a break from it is, I think, very positive in the sense that if you're entitled to just be blank for a while, it also can perhaps allow you to appreciate how you are enough just as you are. You don't need to be striving all the time or meeting your own or other people's expectations. You're here in this form at this moment, and that alone is enough. Once we return to the surface and rejoin with the world around us, the rest of the expectations and needs come back. So to let it all go for a period of time is something to appreciate, not to resist. in feminism, you know, they talk a lot about how the women are classed as the service class, and you are, the phrase, you've probably heard it, is bred to serve. Mm-hmm. And these things get caught up in so many organizing norms of society, but sacrifice, so self-sacrifice for another for the sake of caregiving has a lower level status than the male sacrifice that is noble in defense of the community or the country or the ideal.
Yeah.
You know, that seems patently unfair. Mm-hmm. It's sacrifice to another, if you're asking that on a high level, is equal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Ultimately, you're giving your life. If you give over your life in the service of caregiving and have, you know, all of your purpose invested there, mm-hmm. then you are giving up your own self. That is a sacrifice of self, the same as being, you know, sacrificing yourself to a combative end. In abusive relationships, one person seeks to so dominate the other that the other person has no sense of self anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're not really living. You're going through the motions of life. And that is what burnout is, mm-hmm. is feeling like you're going through the motions of life, mm-hmm. but you're not really living.
Right.
Ellie. So I understand it all.